Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.
Welcome to Refuge Calvary Chapel's Men's Breakfast. Today's guest speaker is Pastor John Hwang of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. His message is called Living in Christ, a study of the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Now here's Pastor John.
Well, good morning, men. I like that. Well, first things first, I got to tell you, I was sharing with your pastor, I have been wanting for so long to meet the faces of this church. And because my family and I, we don't live that far away from here. And so every time we're driving over to Bella Terra, we're always seeing the front face of Refuge Calvary. And, you know, to a certain degree, I feel like what Paul must have felt like when he wrote his letter to the Romans. And he had heard about the faith of the believers there in Rome, but he just didn't have the opportunity to connect with those faces. And then the opportunity came that he was hoping on his way to Spain to be able to stop off for a season in Rome and to finally meet the church there in Rome. And you know, and as I read through the book of Acts and I read about Paul's arrival there in Rome, I can only imagine what the emotions must have been when he finally met face to face with those believers that he'd been longing to meet for so many years. And so I got to tell you, of all the different opportunities that the Lord gives me to be at churches or speak at different places, when I received the opportunity to be able to come here and share with you men and to actually look on my schedule and say, yes, it's a green light. I got to tell you, I mean, I was just so thrilled. And so I want to thank you men, and I want to thank your pastor for being such a bright light for Jesus in this city. You know, one of the things that I so appreciate about your pastor, and this is where I'll say this about him, is whenever I listen to him on the radio or whenever I talk to people that have been under his ministry or whenever we've had opportunities that even as short as it was in passing, he is one of those Jesus guy pastors. And as he teaches, I think of all the guys that I listen to, he is one of the most pastoral teachers that I listen to. And even though I'm kind of the outsider, you know, in terms of this local church body, you know, just my connection with your pastor is through the airwaves. Whenever I listen to him in that time slot, I feel like I'm being so tended and so nourished, just pastored. And so I share all that because I've been thinking a lot lately about Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul tells us that God, Christ, has gifted the church with pastors and teachers. And aren't you thankful that God gifted Refuge with Pastor Bill Welch? Yeah? Well, this morning, I'd like us to all turn to a very familiar passage in the New Testament, Book number 4, the Gospel of John, to chapter 15. John chapter 15. And one of the reasons why I love John chapter 15 so much is because the entire chapter, at least in my Bible, is inked in red letters. So John chapter 15. And so what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to start by reading this entire chapter. And if anything, if there's anything that you leave with this morning, I hope just by reading these words of Jesus, that most of what Jesus is wanting to do in your heart would be accomplished. That's what I love about the words of Jesus. You know, I know that sometimes the pastor has this tendency to think that unless I help the words of Jesus along, people aren't going to be impacted by it. I'll tell you, sometimes the best sermons are just read the words of Jesus and then just walk away. But I do have some things that I do want to share because there are things that I really feel like God's placed on my heart to share. But I hope the majority of what Christ wants to do in us will happen just by reading through it. So follow along with me. I'm going to read from the New King James Version, John chapter 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, and to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Wow. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning we pray that your Spirit would speak to us. And we pray, Lord, that he would open our understanding to look at these words again that we're so familiar with. And Lord, we pray that we would see them with clarity. And Lord, that you would draw our attention to specific points, and that we'd walk out of here knowing how to apply these things in life and in ministry, but more than anything else, that we would leave today as men more in love with Jesus than ever before. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I have to tell you, I love the words of John 15. And And I'm sure that you love them too. I think that many of us, as we've been walking with the Lord at one point or another, we came to John 15 and we parked for a while just to marinate in these words. And some of you, as you read, you just realized this morning that some of your favorite verses of the Bible were in John 15, and you didn't even know they were in John 15. And so as we were reading, you're highlighting and you're circling verse numbers and you're saying, that's the verse that the Lord used to minister to me when I was in this specific situation, this circumstance in life. I got to tell you, I love John chapter 15. Now, having said that, as we've opened up to this chapter, there's something I need to say on the level of intention. As we go through John 15 this morning, you need to know, number one, this is not intended to be a comprehensive exposition of this chapter. We just don't have the time for that. But also, number two, what I want to share is not intended to be a theological debate about election and eternal security. You know, the sad thing is some people, when they come to John chapter 15, they miss what Jesus is wanting to say because for them, they see this as a battleground to argue about election, predestination, or once saved, always saved, or can you lose your salvation? And as people are going to battle head to head over these issues in John 15, what Christ was wanting us to get from this chapter, we never get. So this morning, if you're looking for a fight, you're not going to get it. All right? So it's not intended to be a theological debate. The goal of what I want to share this morning is to lay hold of the main point of John 15. And in doing that, I want us to think about how this applies to you and me as men living out life in Jesus and living out service for Jesus. So here's what John 15 is. First, the setting. Now, we understand in this part of the narrative of the Gospel of John, Jesus is on his way to the cross. He's on his way to the cross to carry out God's plan of redemption. But before all of that stuff happens, Jesus spends time with his closest friends, his disciples, in order to teach them things that they need to know to continue on as his followers in this world. And what we have here in John, in fact, in John chapters 13 on through 16, are some of the most important words of Jesus that he gave to his disciples. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to listen to the final words of a dying man. A few years ago, I got to sit bedside with my dad as pancreatic cancer was just destroying his body. And I was sitting by his side there at Fountain Valley Hospital, and I remember as my dad would just muster up all the strength that he could to just talk to my mom and me. I'm an only child, and it was just the three of us in the room. And my dad, as he was having trouble breathing, his lungs were filling up with fluid, and doctors had already told us that it's hours before he's going to pass away. I'm just listening to my dad talk. And I'll tell you, I'm so grateful for that time because it was a whole lot of Jesus. What my dad valued as important stuff that he wanted to leave my mom and me with was a whole lot of Jesus. And so here's Jesus with his closest friends. So you can imagine the intensity of this moment, and yet the compassion and the pastoral care of this moment. And it's in this setting that John 15 shows up. And so when we think about that, we understand John 15 matters. John 15 is stuff that Jesus condenses and says, listen, guys, you need to know this before I go hang on a cross and die for the sins of the world. And as I read through John chapter 15, I see that the overarching theme of this entire chapter is living in Christ. Living in Christ. And the reason why I say that is because of this word abide. Abide. As we've been reading, hopefully you caught on to that, that this word abide is a big deal. It shows up 10 times in this chapter. And the word abide means to live in, to remain in, and to be at home in. And connected to this word abide, it's almost like you could circle that word and draw a line, and these lines are going out, and it's connected to the word bear fruit, bear much fruit, bear more fruit. It's all connected. And in this abiding relationship that Jesus talks about that we have with them, John 15 teaches us that abiding in Jesus is where our identity issues are settled. Abiding in Jesus is where fruitfulness happens. Abiding in Jesus is where the assurance of salvation is enjoyed. Abiding in Jesus is where Christ-centered relationships are cultivated and maintained. Abiding in Jesus is where friendship with God is realized. And abiding with Jesus is where our impact on the world starts and it continues. So John 15 is a big deal. It's all about living in Christ. And so as I've been marinating in John 15 again, and I've been living in it, these last few weeks, I've just been living in John 15. And I see John 15 breaking down like this. In verses 1 through 11, it's all about living in Christ. Verses 1 through 11, it's all about living in Christ. And then verses 12 on through 17, verses 12 through 17, it's all about living in Christ in the church. Living in Christ in the church. And then in verses 18 on through verse 27, it's all about living in Christ in the world. Living in Christ in the world. So let me share with you some thoughts that the Lord has been ministering to me as I've been living in John 15. First, in verses 1 through 11, living in Christ. Now, to understand this chapter, you have to understand the main characters that are introduced, that are given to us here. And primarily, there are three main characters. The world, that comes in later. But the three main characters of this chapter is, number one, Jesus, the true vine. Jesus, the true vine. We see that in verse 1. And guys, the vineyard, the vine, this metaphor, this was something that was common in Israel, and it's still common today. Jesus chose something that every Jew, especially these disciples, could imagine with their mind's eye, and Jesus was helping them make the connections using this metaphor and how it relates to the spiritual life. And so Jesus says, look it, I am the true vine. And all these disciples, they understand what the vine is. The vine is the source for life. The vine is the source for health. The vine is the source for productivity, for fruit bearing. If the vine isn't a thriving vine, there is no hope for fruit later. And Jesus is calling himself the true vine. And I love that. In contrast to all the other false vines that are in the world, Jesus is saying that he himself is our life source. And Jesus is going to be talking all about connection, being connected to him, being connected to the true life source. And the fact that he emphasizes the fact that he's true, he's assuming that there are people in the world, and there are 7 billion people on the planet today, and in one way or another, they are tangled up in vines. Because everyone is seeking to find something or someone to be their source of life and existence. And so whether it's relationships or whether it's money or whether it's physical appearance or whether it's education or some kind of status, people are all bound up in vines. You want to see people bound up in vines, just go across the street to Bella Terra. And you can see what people are binding themselves up with. But the problem is, none of those vines are a viable source for life. Only Jesus is. And so Jesus is set apart from everything else that this world calls as the source for life. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And that means that being Christians, you and I are in Christ. Listen, guys, this is where our identity issues are settled. You know, as men, there is a wide range of temperaments and personalities among us, right? Some of us, we really struggle with pride. Others of us, we really struggle with insecurities, which is really pride backwards. You know? And then others of us, we're really bold, and others of us are really timid. Some of us, we're leaders. Others of us, we feel more comfortable as followers. But in the end, the way that God has wired men, listen, I think that most men, if not all, if we're willing to admit it, most of us here, if not all of us here, really battle with insecurities. We battle with insecurities. We want to understand for ourselves, how is my life being defined? Being defined in marriage, being defined as a parent, being defined as a brother, being defined as a friend, and being defined as a member of the church. And we want to live a life that matters, right? We want to live a life that a legacy is left behind. That's why when you talk to most people, again, if not all, one of the things that they fear the most about dying is dying alone. And one of the things that they fear is dying without having made any kind of impact or without being an influence to anybody in the world, that no one would show up. No one would show up at your memorial service simply because your life was meaningless and pointless. Sometimes I think for men, we fear that more than death itself. And I'll tell you, insecurities causes men to do a lot of stupid things. But what we see here in John chapter 15, listen, you and me as believers in Jesus, this is our identity. We are in Christ Jesus. Paul the Apostle said it best in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, just by mentioning those verses, you're saying, yes, that's a good scripture, John. That's my scripture. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But did you hear what Paul said? If there was ever a definition about how identity is to be defined, here it is. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Listen, if you want to be secure in who you are as a man, who you are as a husband, who you are as a dad, who you are as a brother, as a friend, as a member of this church, listen, it has to start with being connected to Jesus, abiding in Jesus. Because if your pursuit of trying to identify yourself isn't connected to Jesus, if Christ isn't the center and you're not orbiting around Jesus, then you're going to be like a lost planet that is just spinning out of orbit because you have no idea where you're supposed to go. And so you're trying to spin around self. But the problem is so is a whole bunch of other people. And when a whole bunch of other planets are spinning around self and they're not in proper orbit, they're all crashing into each other. And that's why you've got problems in marriages. That's why you have problems in parenting. That's why you have problems in relationships. Everyone's bumping into each other because everyone wants the most amount of space. Everyone wants to be the center of the universe, and they're all vying for that. Like in marriage, guys. Listen, if you're looking to your wife to be your functional savior, expect conflict. And if your wife is looking to you to be her functional savior, expect conflict. I think the problem with most marriages is that we all have expectations of what we want our spouses to be, and they're not meeting it because it's a messianic complex. What we want from the other person is something that only Jesus can be for us. And if you try to burden people with that, they're going to resent you for it, and you're going to hate them for it because they're not meeting your expectations. And that's why you're always going to be thinking, well, if I was married to someone else, or man, if I didn't have such brats as kids and I had those kids over there. Listen, you cannot put the status of Christ on the people around you. The status of Christ only belongs on Christ. And when you can discover that truth, that our identities are in Christ, then guys, we can relax. It's all about Jesus. The second person that's introduced is the vine dresser, and that's the Father. We see that in verses 1 through 3. In verses 1 through 3, as we read, we see that the vine dresser, Dad, he cares for and he cultivates the vine branches. And I want you to note here in verse 2, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit. Now, there's some people, I mean, they can't get past that verse, and John chapter 15 becomes the battleground. Does that mean that a person can lose their salvation? Or what about all these other scriptures that say that he can't lose his salvation? Well, you know what? I don't want to go there. Because I think there's a bigger picture than a debate. I don't think that Jesus said, hey, John chapter 15, I just want to say the most controversial things so that from now until heaven, you guys are just going to be fighting with one another. I think the bigger picture is this. The Father will do whatever he has to do to cultivate you to be branches that are fruitful. This is the point of what Jesus is talking about. When he says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, this morning I want to apply that about those areas of our hearts, those areas of our lives that are hindering productivity in our lives. You know, a person who tends to vines in a vineyard will tell you that every dead branch on a vine has to be cut away because that is the breeding ground for disease and for insects. And so you have to cut it away if you want to see that vine be fruitful with a bunch of grapes. Listen, God the Father is strategic as the vine dresser. And he searches us from the inside out, and he diagnoses the true condition of our hearts, and he is so merciful to show us those areas of our hearts that are not right. So this morning, just even uttering those words just coming out of my mouth, immediately the Holy Spirit might have shown you something that's not right in your life. Where do you go at 2 in the morning when you should be in bed asleep? What is it that you really want to do when you say to your wife, as she's saying, good night, honey, I'm going to bed. Are you coming? And you say, no, I think I'm going to stay up a little bit longer and watch the news, and then I'll go to bed a little bit later. Are you really going to watch the news? For others of you, what about that anger, that bitterness? All fueled by insecurities because you feel like, you know, as alpha lions, we want to be the guy that's recognized. We want to be the guy that's leading the charge. We want to be the guy out in front. But man, that other person that you think is inferior to you, they're the ones in the spotlight, and you've been harboring bitterness and jealousy. But you don't want to call it that. You'll call it everything else but that. But this morning, God is calling it that. For others of you, it might be unbelief. God has called you to do something specific. God has called you to go somewhere, to do something, to minister to someone. But there's fear inside of you because you know in your mind the potential of what that can produce in terms of a broken relationship, in terms of conflict. And so there's this unbelief and that's keeping you debilitated from doing what the Lord's doing. Listen, all that stuff has to be taken away. All that stuff has to surrender to the cutting shears of the vine dresser, and you allow those sharp razor edges to start snipping those things out of your life. And that happens at the place of confession. But as the vine dresser, not only does he cut away, but he also prunes, or takes away, but he also prunes, he cultivates. Pruning, that's the positive. Now here's the thing about pruning. The Father will prune you because you are fruitful. Maybe sometimes you feel like God introduces pain into your life, and then you go back and you take inventory and you're thinking, okay, I got to go through the list. Am I compromising here? Have I been disobedient there? Am I unbelieving here? And you're going through the list like, no, I haven't been compromising. No, I haven't really been giving into temptation there. No, I haven't been demonstrating unbelief. Why, Lord, why are you introducing pain in my life? It's not discipline. It's pruning. One thing I've discovered in Christianity is that God is more interested in my long-term good than he is in my present comforts. And I've looked back at my life and those times that I thought that God was bummed out at me and he introduced pain into my life, I now look back with hindsight and I realize that God introduced pain because that was the way he was cutting me back to a nub. So I can not only be producing fruit, but more fruit and much fruit. I think for me, the most recent and vivid example of that was the death of my dad. For 10 years, I was a missionary pastor in Brazil. And I'm thankful for that. And I really feel like looking back that God had graced me with fruitful ministry. But as I was walking out the door to go do our church's Christmas service, I got a phone call from my mom. And she said, son, your dad's been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. That was in December. That August, my dad went in for a full physical, and he received from his doctor a clean bill of health. As I came back to California, and I saw my dad at LAX, and he was there because he wanted to greet our family, I saw a man I couldn't even recognize. He was sitting there on the bench. And by this time, his body had so wasted away, he mustered up enough strength to just come up and say hi and give us a hug. And we were with our little baby girl, and my dad wanted to hold her so bad, but he just didn't have the strength to do it. And I'll tell you, during that time that I had with my dad, from Christmas to February 8th, we got to spend Christmas together, and we got to build my son's little bicycle together for Christmas, and then he celebrated my 40th birthday with me, and then he went home to be with the Lord on February 8th, and I was so thankful that I got to be in the hospital room, and as his vital signs were weakening, I just got to whisper into his ears, go to Jesus, go to Jesus, and then he flatlined, and that's how he went to heaven. And I'll tell you, I cried a lot. I was heaving. But all of that, the Lord used to bring me back here. And since 2011, as God has opened up opportunities for me to do stuff like this and to meet people like you, I look at your faces this morning. And I don't know what you see when you look up here, but I know what I see when I look out there. I see the more fruit that Jesus was talking about. You are faces I could have never imagined that I would ever have the opportunity to stand before and talk about Jesus to. You are people that in passing, if it wasn't for the pruning process of God, God introducing pain into my life, I don't know if we would have ever met. But now I see your faces and you see my face and I look at you, I'm like, thank you, Jesus, this is more fruit. Every opportunity is more fruit. And then God is just continuing to give much fruit. And he'll do that in your life. And some of you are found in that place in life. Guys, be encouraged. God's at work in you. And the ultimate good is that he's going to make you like Jesus. Listen, if God's gotten that thing taken care of, don't you think he can take care of all the lesser things that we're having to deal with in life? Then why are we so stressed out? Guys, relax. The Father, he tends to his vines. One last point and I'm done. In fact, I should have been done 5 minutes ago. One last point and I'm done. The third group that's here in John 15 are the branches. We see that in verses 4 and 5. The branches. I think this metaphor is really practical for us this morning. Because branches left to themselves can do absolutely nothing. You know, if you were to cut the branch off a grapevine, it's absolutely useless. I mean, think about it. You can't build with it. You can't do anything with it except throw it in the fire and just throw it away. Guys, the value of those branches is all found in the vine that it's connected to. You and I are branches, and our value and worth is not found in self. It's found in Jesus. Now, the crazy thing is when branches feel like we can produce fruit on our own. And so we try, don't we? We try manufacturing, and so we don't look like a vineyard. We look more like a factory, and we could hear the grinding of gear on gear, metal on metal, and there's the stench of all of that. But as good as we are, the best thing we can produce is wax fruit. It might look like the real thing. I mean, there's been times that I've seen wax fruit that even have the little drops made on them, and you actually reach out and you're mistaken because you actually think it's the real thing. But man, you take a bite into it and you can see this stuff is gross. People who try to live out life and do ministry not connected to Jesus, but try to function like branches who think more highly of themselves that they can actually do this stuff on their own, that's what you get. Then what is the job of branches if we in and of ourselves can't produce fruit? Because if you cut a branch off the grapevine, you're not going to stare at it and it's not going to start producing grapes. Then what's our job? Listen, the job of branches is simply to hold forth the fruit that the vine produces. You know what our job is? Our job is the best job in the world. Our job isn't to create the fruit. Our job is simply to show off what Jesus, the true vine, can do. Our job is to be out there in the world, and whoever we're bumping into, and we've got all these, we're loaded down with fruit, and we're just like, just check out what Jesus can do. Check out what life connected to Jesus looks like. Check out what life in Christ looks like. Because isn't the beauty of going up to Napa Valley and walking into a vineyard, isn't the beauty of it to see vines loaded down with fruit? Whoever takes a picture of dead vines with dead branches and no fruit and maybe some raisins scattered here and there, and we take a picture of that and we Instagram it, and or we blow it up and say, man, this is so beautiful, I want to frame it and put it on my wall. There's no beauty in it. But I'll tell you what, people who try to live life not connected to Jesus, it's like they're walking around with a frame and you're saying, look at me, I am a fruitless, dead, dry branch. You want to be a Christian? There's nothing attractive about that. But in the church and in the world, the taste for sweetness and juiciness and just what is just full of flavor and life, we get to show that off. This is what Jesus is like. This is what Jesus does by just being connected to him. Guys, I'm going to end there. But in those three characters, I want you to see something as I close. Do you understand that being connected to Christ like this, we can relax. Relax from trying to manufacture good works. Listen, legalism, moralism, rules, regulations, all that stuff, it may make you feel better about yourself because none of us wants to admit, like, without Jesus, I'm just a lame branch. But I'll tell you what, the end result of it is going to be more frustration with zero real stuff. You want to be bearing fruit in the church and in the world. You want to be fruitful in your service, in leading others to Christ. You want to be fruitful in showing the world what Jesus is like. Listen, the primary thing is not learning more about evangelism. It's not learning more about discipleship. All that stuff is great, but every morning, first is first, we wake up and we say, Jesus, I just want to be connected to you today. All that stuff will follow. And guys, be open and humble to the cultivating work of the Father, because he's got your best in mind. He's going to make you like Jesus, and you're in the process of becoming like Jesus. And isn't that what the world needs to see more of? Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you for being to us everything that we read about in the Bible. And I pray for these men that as they process the stuff that we talked about, Lord, that I just want all of us, that our life would just be boiled down to the most simple ingredient in the Christian life and in Christian ministry. And that would just be about Jesus. And so, Lord, I thank you for these guys. And I pray, Lord, that as they remain in you, that their life would be so fruitful to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
You have just heard a recording from the Refuge Men's Breakfast. For more information about the men's ministry, please contact us at 714-891-9495 or log on to refugefamily.com. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you walk with and serve him today.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that I